And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Over the next hour, we get you set for the Giants and Seahawks. I'm Bob Papa, joined as always by my co-host. He is a Super Bowl champion and member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Harry Carson. Two-time Super Bowl champion, Senior Banks, Carl Banks, and our personal protector, former Giant Roman Oben. Let's take a look at what we have on tap for you here on this week's show. We'll hear from Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. Paul DeTino goes in the Giants locker room. We'll hear from Justin Tuck. He's got six sacks over his last two games. Plus, we'll be joined in our player spotlight by middle linebacker John Beeson. Also on the program, we'll tell you about Antrell Roll and how his upbringing shaped him as a professional football player. In our online segment, we're joined by Paul Schwartz of the New York Post and Art Stapleton of The Record, and we'll also have our keys to the game. But the way we like to get things going, we start with that fast-paced offense. No huddle. A little different this week. We're going to put 2 minutes on the clock as we get into an overall discussion. And, Harry, I'm going to start this off with you. The Giants mathematically ruled out of the playoffs. They've been eliminated. It's the first time since 2004 with this many games remaining. The Giants know they're not going to the postseason. How do you handle that as a player?
Well, I think each of us have been in that situation at one time or another. And I think it varies from player to player. You know, there are some players who are already on the clock knowing that, you know, 3 weeks from now, you know, there's no more football for them.
They're going to Hawaii with you.
Yeah. But it really is the beginning of the 2014 football season now. I mean, for many of those young guys, you know, it's an opportunity for them to get into a game to show what they can do so that, you know, the team is going to want to re-sign them. For some of those guys who have been here, may have been a little disenchanted, you know, they probably are already packing their cars to leave now. And, you know, 3 weeks from now becomes irrelevant. Once the season's over, you know, they're gone. But we've seen all kinds of players in situations like this, and they handle it in very different ways.
Yeah, the NFL reality now, it's all about those quote-unquote business decisions. And the mantra of one team, one goal kind of goes away. And you really find out what guys are competing and why they're competing. And then, like Harry said, there are other guys, it may be a small percentage, that really don't have a reason to compete when they either know they're not going to be back or whatever. So you're going to find out how it all comes together on a Sunday, but definitely the goals are different now that the season is lost. You're three weeks away from being on vacation, no matter what happens. So certain guys are going to peep to show that they're either better, need a new contract, need to stay on the team. And other guys are going to be like, you know what, either I'm not going to be here anymore. I never liked them. They never liked me. So I'm looking forward to free agency.
Well, if you're a leader or if you have some type of character integrity on this football team, I have to believe there's still some of that championship spirit left on this team. I mean, whether it's the way Justin Tuck's played the last few weeks, Antrell Roll, offensively, you got guys like Brandon Myers who's trying to prove that he's not just going to be a one-year guy. Mm-hmm. So I think you were always playing for something. And I think if you're a professional athlete and you made your living the way we did, you know, whether it's week one or week 16 or 15, whatever, you're always playing for something.
Well, keep in mind, Roman, you know, there's a difference between the way things were back then and the way things are now. It's more about, you know, guys getting paid. And if they don't think they're going to get paid, if they don't think that, you know, they're going to be here, it's going to become very evident on the field on Sunday afternoon.
Did you guys ever think about injury? Like, you know, I just hope I get through this and not have to have surgery.
Well, that's every game. So I don't think that, I mean, every time you strap it up, you're going to play hard and hope for the best. So if that comes into a guy's mind first and foremost before he takes the field this time of the year, the likelihood of him not playing hard or getting injured are pretty high.
All right, time to put item number two up on the board. The guy that's keeping everybody focused, and he always does, Giants head coach Tom Coughlin, sizing up this week's matchup with Seattle. On Sunday afternoon, the Giants host the Seattle Seahawks at MetLife Stadium. And, Coach, this is a game in which you got to bring the hard hat with the way Seattle plays football, rugged on both sides of the ball. I'm guessing that's a message that you're enforcing with your team all week.
The message is loud and clear about the style and the way in which Seattle plays. They do run the ball very, very well. Marshawn Lynch, obviously. Russell Wilson with his ability. Wide receivers will go in and work as well. So it is a physical, physical offensive group. Defensively, number one in the league. It's hard to get any better than that.
Last week was not typical of the way your team had been playing. Do you expect that big effort from them on Sunday? Do you get a sense from them that that's not acceptable from within the framework of the team, outside of even the coaches talking about it?
Well, that's the goal. The goal is to be the very best you can. And the goal is every Sunday you bring your best. You give great effort. We prepared. We talked about this. And the players are well aware of what is happening this weekend when they come to town.
Coach, in years past, when you've made draft picks, you haven't necessarily needed your top pick to have to play a major role. This year, because of all the injuries that you had, Justin Pugh has been thrown in there. This is invaluable experience he's gaining. From your assessment, how has he done adjusting to the NFL lifestyle?
He's made steady progress. He's very competitive. He wants to play. He's got a lot of pride.
And I guess the one thing you want to see from young players is fight. We saw him mix it up with opposition. I know you want poise. But even at the end of that game, when it looked like, you know, the game was pretty much over and Eli throws the interception, that rookie went diving and saved a touchdown for you.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he did it on the other interception as well. He was in hot pursuit for the ball. And that happens many times. You're not distributed very well. You don't have a lot of people where the ball is. You've got to get people to bust their tail to get over there.
All right, we're just getting started here on Giants First and 10. When we come back, we're going to take you inside the Giants locker room. You'll hear from Justin Tuck. Paul Dottino is in there, unearthing all those nuggets for you. All that, much, much more, as we continue with Giants First and 10 right here on MSG.
Our philosophy, our approach is to have a balanced attack that where you can rely on the running game that serves many issues, and that's one of them. You know, if the ball is hard to throw and catch, if the wind won't let you do it or the rain won't let you do it, you know, where are you going to go when you don't have a running game or you're not committed to it? So that's always the thought in my mind. I don't know how they're thinking about it, but that's how we've always kind of justified the makeup and the formula that we have.
And we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll talking about that running game. And he and the Seahawks have now qualified for the playoffs for the third time in his 4 years in Seattle. It is time to put item number 3 up on the board. We go to the locker room with Paul Dottino. Paul?
Well, you know, Bob, in talking about Seattle, everybody wants to talk about their defense. But the offense isn't so bad either. In fact, they're right among the top leaders in the NFL, averaging about 27 points a game. Everybody knows about Marshawn Lynch, but Russell Wilson is a dual threat at quarterback.
He's going to be tough to corral. Obviously, we got to play our best game against him because, like I said, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's playing like a wily vet. It's hard to believe he's only in his second year in the league, and he's doing pretty well.
Justin, I've heard you at other times talk about your admiration for Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Now you're playing him.
Yeah.
Can you give us some more detail as to what you think about him and why you're so impressed?
Yeah, I'm more impressed with Marshawn just the fact that, you know, he's a running back that gives more to pounding than taking it. That scheme really fits him well. It's a constant that you see him falling forward, breaking tackles. You really don't see him getting hit for negative yardage. So that's going to keep the sticks in their favor. And plus, you know, he's one of those backs that when he does break it, he can take it to the house.
So Marshawn Lynch is a 1,000-yard running back, and Russell Wilson is fourth among NFL quarterbacks, running for about 450 yards. Carl, last week, the Giants gave up their second 100-yard rushing attempt or attack of the season when Matthews of San Diego did it. How concerned are you right now about the Giants' ability to clamp down on the run?
Well, the class of running back just elevated when you talk about Marshawn Lynch versus their recent opponents. But it's always a concern. But you have a team that has shown that they can play. It's just a matter of, will they come together collectively and rise to the occasion? Because, you know, if you're a defensive player, you want to face a guy like him in a team like Seattle.
Yeah, I think defenses, you know, Carl, are measured against the big physical offensive linemen, the good backs. And take away last week, this defensive line has shut down these running backs. And I think last week is just a glitch in the season that they've had. So I think they'll be up for the challenge.
You know, and the other thing about last week that you got to throw in there is even though Matthews got over 100 yards, it took him 29 carries.
Right.
It was 3.6 a pop. It's not as if, you know, he averaged 5 yards a carry. All right, we put item number 4 up on the board. Paul back in the locker room. Paul, we'll go to the other side of the ball.
Well, guess what? We're going to go back to that Seattle defense we spoke about ever so briefly a moment ago. They're near the top in nearly every key defensive category. In fact, the Giants think that they're just a total package.
They don't make many mistakes. They play fast. They do everything pretty well. They do a good job getting a pass rush. A lot of times just bringing 4 guys. They mix in some pressure. They play a lot of man-to-man kind of on the outside with their corners and are physical with them. So, they have a good scheme and, we'll have some things to hopefully give us some chances to make some plays and run our offense efficiently. But, we got to, everybody's going to have to do their assignments very well.
They're ball hungry. They force fumbles and they make interceptions. So, just as offense, take care of the ball, hold on to the ball, and make sure we keep pressure off of Eli so that we can make good decisions and go out there and be rolling as an offense.
Now, Seattle's tied for 2nd in the NFL with 28 takeaways. But, if there's one thing that's kind of normal in that defense, it's the fact that their running game, Roman, is kind of average. They're in the middle of the pack, giving up about 110, 115 yards a game. And St. Louis and Tampa Bay ran for 200 yards as a team in weeks 8 and 9 on back-to-back occasions. It seems to me the Giants got to run the ball to have a chance.
Well, if you go back a few weeks ago to what the Giants did against the Cowboys, I mean, they were capable of having a 200-yard rushing game. And what that running game does is it does create balance. And when you take your shots downfield, you have to connect. I mean, Richard Sherman, the corner, he leads the NFL and pass the first penalties, but it doesn't take away from his aggressiveness. So you've got to still go after those guys and still make them make mistakes and get down the field.
And another thing about the running game, if it's working, it means Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch are sitting on the bench.
Yeah, 100%.
Good point, Carl. Yeah.
And that's really one of the ways, guys, that you have to attack them when you go to Seattle is you can't run all the packages. You got to line up and play football.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's going to be a little bit different at MetLife on Sunday, Paul, but I would think that the Giants need to get John Connor going in that power game and just kind of attack.
One thing to watch for, Bob, is that the weakness in that rush defense is the right side of that Seattle unit. They're giving up over 5 yards a carry when people are running right side at that defensive unit.
All right, good stuff, Paul, as we send Paul Dottino into the locker room each and every week here on Giants First and 10. Well, we want you to watch Giants First and 10. And if you miss part of the program, don't worry about it. Let's take a look at the times that it airs throughout the course of the weekend right here on MSG. Debuts on Friday nights, re-airs on Saturday and Sunday as well. Now, this show tends to be dominated by linebackers with Hall of Famer Harry Carson and Carl Banks. We got another one getting ready to come into the studio in our player spotlight. John Beeson coming up next as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG. Giants First and 10 here on MSG. We're getting you set for the Giants and Seahawks on Sunday, 1 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. Time for item number 5. We put it up on the board. Earlier this year, NFL Films wired John Beeson, the Giants middle linebacker, when Big Blue squared off against the Raiders.
New York Giants football is on the air from high atop MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Let's go. Boys rolling. Let's go, baby. 60 minutes, baby. 60 minutes. Zero, zero. Zero, zero. Reload! Close right, close right! Yeah, King! Yeah! Listen, man, don't hope, don't pray for somebody else to make the play. You do your job and make the play. You be the difference, man. We need a turnover in the worst way.
Takes the snap, zips one, right, intercepted by the Giants, Terrell Thomas. Running down the left sideline, cuts right for the 30, to the 25, chased by Pryor. Dips under his tackle, to the 10, to the 5, down at the 1.
We got to have a touchdown, bro.
We got to get a touchdown. Got to get a touchdown.
First and goal at the one. Eye set. Manning, handoff left for Brown. He follows Connor into the end zone. Touchdown, Giants.
Yeah!
And the Giants are an extra point away from regaining the lead with 2:15 to go in the third.
Hey, pride, purpose, right? Yeah. It's in. You can, hey, you're running with conviction right now.
Yeah.
It looked like you missed the game a little. It looked like you hungry a little bit, huh? Okay, okay. Hey, hey, let's go, let's go. Hey, when the last time we got a three and out? Hey, we tripping, man. Come on now. Hey, we tripping, man. Come on now. Let's go. Three and out, man. Three and out.
Low snap. Prior back. Under pressure. Sack. Back at the 15-yard line by Ontrell Roll.
Oh! Woo! Don't make it. Hey, you know what I just realized? I'm mic'd up.
You are?
I've been wilding too. I've been saying some crazy.
Dude.
They won't.
Dude.
Yeah. Hey, they won't mic me no more.
Well, John Beeson joins us in studio. Here in the studio, John knows he has a mic on.
Right.
But you were really in the zone there, huh?
Yeah, you know, you go out there, you have fun, man. You know, you try to have a lot of energy you know, you get out there, you get in the moment, you say crazy things. Good thing you guys did a good job of bleeping some stuff out.
Protect you. We protect you. Yeah.
John, so you've seen the highs and lows of a career. And, you know, talk a little bit about going from being a Pro Bowl player to having back-to-back injuries and then what the expectation personally for yourself was. Was it just getting back or getting back to a high level?
Well, you know, anytime you've attained something in terms of, you know, making a Pro Bowl, you've done it before. Mm-hmm. You know, so for me, I know that, you know, short of the injuries, I know who I was. So coming back is like, I want to be that player again. So getting a chance to start over, I know that the expectation is this is the type of caliber player that we expect to be on the field. So for me, that's what I'm trying to do, is just trying to be who I was.
This organization has a long lineage of good, solid, you know, linebackers. And since you got here, you've had a warm welcome by the fans, the community. You know, what do you like the most about this organization and this community?
Well, I love that it's a big stage, and I love that there's a lot of tradition here. You know, coming out of University of Miami, a lot of great, you know, linebackers, great players, and it's the same thing. And, you know, you just want to be mentioned in the same breath as the greats before you. Right. I think everybody should strive to do that.
So when you get here and immediately you take on a leadership role, and as you lead this young group of linebackers, is it promising some of the guys like Jaquan Williams, who just probably needed some guidance, is it promising what you're seeing?
Yeah, no question. You know, I remember being a young guy and having a Dan Morgan or a Nile Diggs, you know, guys 6-7 years older than me to kind of, you know, hey, what did you do? Tell me what I need to do here different. And, you know, for me, I know that I'm that guy for a lot of young guys who haven't played, but the talent is there. You know, you just try to get guys to kind of buy in, to learn how to prepare, and then they can let their athletic ability take over.
All right, if I rip off the running backs, LeSean McCoy twice, Adrian Peterson, Eddie Lacy, Matt Forte, Jamal Charles. Anyway, Alfred Morris. You guys went against the guys who were all 1, 2, or 3 at different points in the year rushing the ball. They've got a combined 500 yards, 3.6 yards per carry. What's been the difference with this run defense?
Well, I think everybody's just selling out to do their job. Anytime you see that there's a positive play or a gain, especially in a run game, it's because somebody got blocked or somebody didn't do their job. And collectively, we're all doing it together. We got 11 guys doing one thing right at a time, and you can have a successful play.
Looking at this Seattle matchup, once you finally start to break down a film offensively, what do you see from this offensive team that makes them unique?
Well, you know, you look at Russell Wilson. First off, he's got a live cannon, you know, a guy 5'10", but he's probably has one of the strongest arms, if not the strongest arm in the NFL. And I do mean that. If you watch the tape, you'll see it. And he's so crafty. And the fact that he can buy time with his legs and also, you know, get involved in a running game makes him a dual threat with, you know, crazy talent in Tate and obviously Marshawn. So they do a great job, man. That zone scheme is tough to stop.
So when you talk about that zone scheme, is it a little different with Marshawn running it? Seems like he just assaults the hole as soon as he gets to it, he bursts through. What is going to be the key there?
Well, I think he has great vision. You know, you look at the way the Redskins run it, it's more so, hey, it's structured. I need you between this hole and that hole. Marshawn will take it all the way out the back end. So you really got to tempo him. But like I said, man, it's going to come down to everybody doing their job at a high level against a great offense and wanting to be the guy to make the play.
We're talking with John Beeson. John, when the trade happened, I think it stunned everybody, you know, on the Giants fan base side. Did you have any idea that something was going on?
No, not at all. Not at all.
It doesn't happen in football much.
It doesn't. And, you know, especially when I got here, I heard that they hadn't traded for a player since 86. And I was like, wow, this, you know, it's pretty unique. You know, I didn't know what to expect or what the expectations were, how it was going to go coming in. I just wanted to come in and do my job and kind of fly under the radar.
Is this a place that you'd like to be?
I love it. You know, thus far, the way everyone has accepted me, the guys in the locker room, the guys on this team, and, you know, the upward trend that we've had. You know, we want to go out and finish these last three games on a great note so next year we have that confidence going into the 2014 season.
What do you say to the other guys, the younger guys or whatever? I mean, because they're not – the Giants haven't been eliminated from the playoffs with games remaining since 2004. It's been a long time. What's your message to the guys?
Well, you know, for a guy who hasn't been at that level is, hey, you know, remember what it took to get there. You know, you guys have been to the promised land and won. So whatever it is you guys did that year, you know, let me know, because now I'm the young guy. And, you know, let's get back to doing that.
John, we appreciate a couple minutes.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck on Sunday. That's number 52 for the New York Giants. Linebacker John Beeson, who's brought tremendous grit and leadership to this defense. They'll need it on Sunday when they take on the Seahawks. When we come back here on Giants First and 10, the Blitz as we continue after this here on MSG. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG, getting you set for the Giants and the Seattle Seahawks. Still to come on the program, we take you down to Florida with Entrell Roll. Carl Banks breaks down the coach's tape with strategy, and we have our online segment with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post and Art Stapleton of The Record. But time to put item number 6 on the board. Number 6 means the Blitz, which means Anita Marks.
Yes.
Anita?
I always have fun with you guys. Here we go. Blitz question number 1. Seattle, as we know, has the best record in the AFC West. They're at 11-2, trailed by their division rival, the San Francisco 49ers. They're at 9-4, and then Arizona trying to compete for that wild card spot at 8-5. Okay, the question is the NFC West the most competitive division, the best division in all of the NFL right now? A minute on the board. Discuss.
Discuss.
Yes.
All right, so I'm thinking... the West, it is probably the most competitive with the best level of talent. There are a lot of competitive division, but from talent-wise, team to team, I think they may be the best.
Yeah, I think by mere virtue of the fact that San Francisco and Seattle are those two teams that seem to be very dominant in the NFC now, you would have to say that the NFC West is probably the best division.
Yeah, but,
Bobby, can you make an argument for the AFC West?
No, because the AFC West has Oakland in it.
Okay.
So there's no way you can make an argument for the AFC West. Obviously, you got Denver, Kansas City. San Diego's not a bad team. But if you look at the NFC West, you've got San Francisco, Seattle, the two best teams in the conference probably. And then Arizona's on the come. Yep. And St. Louis has played some very good football. So top to bottom, that's the best division in football.
You guys made it without the buzzer. Easy. Here we go. Question number 2.
Tom, hard question.
Head coach Tom Coughlin and Victor Cruz this week both said that there's an excitement to play the Seattle Seahawks because of the quality of their team. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Giants' mindset, considering the postseason is out of the picture, that they're going to be up for this game because it's the Seattle Seahawks? A minute back on the clock.
Well,
discuss.
One thing I learned from this guy, no matter what your record is, if you're a competitor, you want to show that you are as good as the guy that you're playing against. So you would look forward to it. Even though you may be on a bad team, you're going to show your competitor, hey, we're no slouch.
He took my thunder.
Well, I
That's
learned
what I was
from you,
say.
Captain.
Boom. Captain
no,
for life.
But the reality is...
he's my captain. He taught me.
Seattle is probably the number one team in the NFL right now.
Right.
And if they're coming into your house... there's a certain amount of pride that you have to exhibit, you know, when they come into your house. No matter what your record is, you're going to have to rise to the occasion and play. And you got to play your hearts out, and you have to represent. Now, if they lose, you know, that's fine. As long as they give the effort, if they go out there and Seattle is just more superior than the Giants, then fine. I think the fans will see it and recognize it and appreciate it. But if they go out there and lay an egg and don't play well, they're going to hear from the fans.
We got buzz. Sorry. Got go buzz. Ahead and move on.
So
I had a great opinion. I had a great analogy, though, for that one. But that's all right. Kathy.
2012, that NFL draft produced some of the best quarterbacks right now in the NFL. Andrew Luck, RG3, as we know, and Russell Wilson. Your question is Russell Wilson proving to be the best quarterback in that draft class right now? A minute on the board.
Go, Bob.
Oh, you want to go first?
Yeah.
No. Andrew Luck, to me, is the best quarterback. Overall quarterback coming out of that class from last year. I think Russell Wilson brings in a very interesting dynamic. I think he's a quality player. He throws the ball well. He runs the ball very well. He's a smart kid, and he's the only one of these running quarterbacks that knows how to slide. But I'm going to say that Andrew Luck is the overall best quarterback. He's playing with a lot lesser team around him than Russell Wilson. It's not to take anything away from Wilson.
I agree.
I think Seattle has done a very good job with Russell Wilson and the cast that's around him, along with Kaepernick at San Francisco. You know, both of these guys have great surrounding cast, but, you know, I think Andrew Luck is probably the best of all of those quarterbacks.
So not a lot of disagreement today. This was an easy blitz.
Harmony.
It's a holiday season. And we're inside of the 12 days of Christmas, so we got to be very friendly. All right, Anita, we'll do it again next week.
Thank you.
All right, still to come here on the program. We got a lot more to come on the program, including Entrell Roll. You don't want to miss our cameras going back to Entrell's hometown in Florida and find out what made him the great player that he is. We'll tell you about it when we return to Giants First and 10 right here on MSG after this. Welcome back to Giants First and 10 here on MSG. It's the Giants and Seahawks at MetLife Stadium, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Time for item number 7 as we put it up on the board. Entrell Roll has been the Giants' most consistent player all season long. What makes Entrell Roll so great? You got to go back to his past to find out. Every offseason, Entrell Roll goes back home to the University of Miami to train, which is just up the road from his hometown of Homestead, Florida. In his 4 years at Miami, Entrell recorded 183 tackles and 5 interceptions. And in his senior season, he was named a consensus first-team All-American at cornerback.
I can't say it was a lifelong dream to go to the University of Miami. I was leaning more towards Florida, all the way until I actually went and I trained at University of Miami for one day. You know, just to go out there and just work out, just to get a feel of how it was. And the brotherhood that I saw there, you know, the camaraderie, just the amount of talent and the competitive nature that I saw there. I was like, man, like, this is where I belong.
40 sprints, so you're starting here, 40 sprints. Excellent. Trail, now from right there, you're going to sprint back forward. Coming to me.
I've been training Entrell since he's been here through college. The thing that makes him special is his heart. He's very competitive and also his character. He's a high character guy, but has unbelievable work ethic and very competitive. I mean, he don't like to be behind. He always want to be on top.
Way to run. There you go.
He's one guy that's going to be consistent, and I think that's a key word, I think, in being successful. He know what got him to that point, and he's going to stay consistent and keep working, even though it's tough, as you can tell from the day. But he's willing to go through that because he know the payoff from it.
It's that MetLife, y'all. Nothing in life comes easy.
Well, on Sunday, Entrell hopes at MetLife he and the Giants can take on the Seahawks and knock them down. And, guys, you see sort of his commitment. So passionate. He's a throwback-style player, isn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, the reality is football really is a year-round job. And to be the best that you can be, you really have to be as physically prepared as you can be. And, you know, I remember spending my off seasons just going to work and doing things. We've come a long way from then to now.
He's been, the beauty of it, he's been a leader by example, and he's been that vocally also. He's put his feet where his mouth is, and you could argue he is, if not the most valuable player this year, one of the most outstanding players on this roster.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any question. The Giants MVP.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his approach, too. You know, that Miami kind of panache that he has and the being outspoken in some of the things he said. But again, he backs it up. And when this team was 0-6, I remember just saying to him, look, just keep leading, keep playing, keeping the guys together. And obviously this was before Beason got here and kind of balanced that leadership. But he's done everything right and deserves to be where he is.
Yeah, he's having a fantastic season for the Giants. And one of the reasons why the Giants were able to dig out of that 0-6 hole was because of Antrell Roe. All right, now we got to go to the X's and O's. Antrell's really good at that, too. Understanding defensive concepts, understanding what an offense is trying to do, and breaking it down on the coach's tape. But he does not hold a candle to our man, Carl Banks, in strategy.
Let's take a look at the Seattle Seahawks running game. And the key to that running game is Marshawn Lynch. Why is he the key? Because he has dual vision. He goes here, he goes here, he goes there. Every guy on the defensive front, especially your linebacker and your end of the line guys, will have to be very disciplined. Here's why, and I'll show you. You've got a linebacker and a defensive end. I'll run it slow. Your linebacker has to have tempo. What is tempo? Tempo is he's got to stay eye to eye with this running back. He cannot overrun the play because when it comes back and you got a quarterback coming out, it turns into a big play. Now, I'll run it slow so you can see. Watch the tempo of your inside linebacker. He gets too far into the line of scrimmage. I'll freeze it. Right here, as Marshawn Lynch goes here, you've got a defensive end watching the quarterback and a linebacker who's too far in who can't come back out. So gap control and tempo is very important. Let's take a look at Seattle's defense. They don't rush a lot of guys. Sometimes they'll rush four, occasionally five. But the key is you cannot be outworked by their interior linemen. Let's take a look here and spot shadow right here. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys to block four. Let's see what happens. Keep an eye on your defensive end. This is a three-man rush, and they're relentless to get to the quarterback. So you have to maintain your block in order for the offense to run efficiently. They don't bring a lot of guys. They just outwork their opponent.
Strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by PSE&G. We make things work for you. Well, make sure you check out on MSG on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, another edition of Giants Chronicles on Trail Roll. A complete look at his Homestead, Florida home and his upbringing and the importance of the University of Miami, his high school, and his family. We'll tell you about it this week on Giants Chronicles. When we come back on the program, Pat Hanlon's warming up the vocal pipes. Giants Online segment as we continue with Giants First and 10 here on MSG after this. We are back here on Giants First and 10 on MSG, getting you set for the Giants and Seahawks. Time for our online segment. We've got the Senior VP of Communications, Pat Hanlon, by my side. We've got Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, Art Stapleton of The Record joining us, and it's time to put item number 9 up on the board. It's our online segment, and Giants in a little bit of a predicament this week. For the first time since 2004, with games to go on the schedule, not in a playoff race.
Right. There have been other years where it's been really a mathematical formula to get them in. They weren't in control of their own destiny. But this, we know it's over. No more Super Bowl countdown clock, none of that other stuff.
And calendar.
Yeah, well, yeah. And what I'm wondering right now is, are the Giants going to show up? Are they going to compete? Because we've seen down the stretch of some of these seasons, the team has completely gone in the tank. Last year, Ravens. Last year, Falcons. Vikings 1 year. Last game in Giants Stadium history.
Completely
in the tank.
Irrelevant.
No?
Counselor, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Losing at Atlanta and Baltimore last year has nothing to do with this year.
There's a trend. Late in the season, this team
Give me the definition of aberration. No, that's another conversation. Go ahead.
I think you have to look at this roster and 32 players under contract for next year that are on the 53 right now. I'd say by my count, I estimated 13 are all but guaranteed to be back for next season. 13. The rest of these guys are on an audition. And when they say the eye doesn't lie, well, the eye in the sky is not going to lie with the way these guys perform over the next 3 weeks. I think this is a huge game for guys to go out there and prove that they have not quit, not only on the team, but on themselves.
Are you buying that?
Yes, but you can't discount the first 13 games. I think you're going to look at the first 13 games. It's not just, okay, if these guys can play well the last three games, then we'll have them back.
Right.
It's a whole evolving thing.
That's
right. You look at the whole thing. But, look, it's important you have a home game. These are your home fans, the paying customers, and it's really important not to lay an egg in a game like
Listen,
this. Not saying you got to win. That's a better team you're playing.
I know that it's easy to forget this in a season like we're having. There are champions in that locker room, right? There's a lot of pride in that locker room. And I know that in the jaded, cynical world that we live in, when you throw the word pride out there, it doesn't exactly resonate with people. But there are people that have been to the mountaintop in that locker room who are as disappointed as any group of people can be about where we are right now. The great thing is they have three games to ease the disappointment. So, yes, they have their personal professional futures to look out for, but it's more than that. It's bigger than that.
Well, now that sets the stage for this component of it, is they don't have the little sisters of the poor coming in. They have arguably the best team in the NFC.
Tell me the last time we played the little sisters of the poor. Go ahead.
Never.
That'll be week 17.
There is none in the NFL. All right. But you have a really good team that's going to create some matchup issues here on Sunday, so they better be on their P's and Q's.
Yeah, I mean, the one matchup that everyone's going to talk about is going to be the passing offense, Eli Manning against the Legion of Boom in the secondary with Seattle's secondary. But I think what would frighten me most is Seattle's defensive front against the offensive line of the Giants and the way this offensive line has performed. You know, I talked to Justin Pugh the other day in terms of what this defensive line presents, and he started rattling off names, Bruce Irvin, Cliff Averill, you know, Michael Bennett, Red Bryant. I mean, these are guys that are going to cause matchup problems up and down the Giants' offensive line, and that would concern me most about this game Sunday.
Don't be afraid, Artie. Don't be afraid.
You know what, though?
I'd be concerned about his Eli.
Yeah, because, you know, we've always been able to count on the Giants' offense and Eli to get something done through the air. You know, last week in San Diego, that's a team that was ripe to be picked offensively, and the Giants couldn't do it. So you wonder, how many points can your team get against this really good defense? The offense has been so alarmingly inconsistent. There hasn't been one game, Pat, I know you want to say something, one game this year where the offense
and you're not gonna let me.
Exploded. Well, let's see. Go ahead. Throw it out.
No, listen, in a season full of frustration, there's been no greater frustration than our passing attack and the big play that we've become accustomed to. The principles are essentially still the same. Right. Guess what? You got a chance to go out against arguably the best secondary in the NFL and prove that you're still that same group.
But my point
and it
is,
it hasn't been there.
They're going to have no opportunities. That's my point. This defensive front is phenomenal. I mean, you want to talk about the way the Giants used to dominate teams. This defensive front is not going to give Eli any opportunities to go after that secondary.
On the flip side, last week, one of the few bright spots was our pass protection was as good as it's been. Now, I understand that we're comparing apples and oranges here.
All right, predictions for Sunday.
I don't see it.
Look at that shape.
No, I don't see it.
He's given up.
No, I haven't. Look, I've watched
the
team.
He's packed it in.
I've watched 13 games already this year. I don't see the Giants scoring more than 10 points. I could see a 27-10 type loss.
You know, I don't think this team will quit. I just think the team is too good that they're playing on the other side of the ball. I think maybe 28-6, 28-14 if they're lucky. I think it's just a matter of a mismatch, and this offense can't compete with this defense.
What do they say, Pat?
That's why they play the game, Bobby.
There you go. We are out of time. Still to come on the program, we're going to bring you the keys to the game, but let's take a look at all the Giants programming throughout the course of the week. First and 10 debuts every Friday night on MSG. It also repeats on Saturdays. Saturday nights, it's Giants Access Blue over on My9. And then on Sunday mornings, check out Giants Chronicles This Week, featuring Entrell Roll, plus a rebroadcast of Giants First and 10. After the game, go to My9 for the Giants postgame show. You're liking all that stuff. It doesn't stop there, because then on Tuesdays you have Giants Rewind on MSG and Wednesdays the coaches press conference live. Whew. When we come back, keys to the game after this and Giants First and 10 on MSG.
Your Honor.
Yeah.
It's a
minute on the board. Discuss.
Discuss?
Discuss. Yes.
All right. Hey, they won't mic me no more.
Don't be afraid, Artie. Don't be afraid.
And the Geico recap brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit them at geico.com. All right. Giants and Seahawks Sunday, MetLife Stadium, 1 o'clock. Final item, number 10. Keys to the game for the Giants and the Seahawks, and we start with Senor Carson.
Well, Bob, because there's really nothing to play for except pride here, I think that every player really needs to give his best effort one play at a time. And don't worry about what's coming down the pike. Just go out there and just sell out and just give your best to your hometown crowd. And you're playing against one of the best teams in the NFL, and you have to play picture-perfect football to win.
All right. You have your own clothing line. You're thinking about clothing when it comes to
your team. It's time to put on the big boy pants. It's, you know, can you compete with the elite? And this is this will be a test to show that, you know, the season's not lost. You're not a group of guys that can't compete at a high level.
All right, Roman, your keys for the Giants. You're thinking let it snow?
Well, I think being an East Coast team, this West Coast team is coming to your place. So they're getting up physically about 5 in the morning to play. So you've got to use these elements against them. You got to jump on them. You got to start fast. Do all those things to make them uncomfortable and not let this be their statement game for what could happen 6-7 weeks later.
So let the cold and the elements kind of play into it for you as well?
100%.
All right. Well, we are just about out of time here on the program. If you're coming to the game, though, on Sunday, don't forget it's touchdowns for tots. The Giants and the U.S. Marine Corps have once again teamed up. So bring an unwrapped gift to the stadium. It'll be collected by the U.S. Marines as you enter. Touchdowns for tots, always on the calendar each and every year. If you can, make sure you give a little bit as you're coming to the stadium on Sunday. All right, we are just about out of time. My Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, Carl Banks, my two-time Super Bowl champion and a Super Bowl champion in his own right, Roman Oben. We're out of time, folks. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week right here on MSG for another edition of Giants First and 10.